truck, it's raining in the park.
Coach Tim and myself, golf spiritual leader, gathering together to present another hour or so of unhinged golf nerddom. The show is called Swing Thoughts. If you're new to it, it's hard to explain. Of course, most people have been listening to us now for over 9 years, 255 plus episodes, and you know, we appreciate that, don't we, Tim?
We do. We absolutely do it. Just letting you know, the sound coming through here is kind of warbly.
Don't you worry, I'll fix that. Here it comes. There we go. Now it's all right.
There you are.
There we go.
All my anxieties just diminished.
I have a checklist, just like, you know, before you take off in a plane, you have
like
to go
pilot.
Through. Yes. And the one thing I didn't do is the thing that you made it sound warbly to you. Fortunately, it did not affect the professional broadcasts that were the sound that we're producing for the listenership. Yes, indeed, we're always happy to have our humble and Fred. See, there you go. We're always happy to have. Well, actually, there are some humble and Fred people listening to this program, but for the most part, it's our STDs, our super listeners, our swing thoughts devotees. I actually had somebody come up to me just 2 days ago, and I felt bad. They walked across a room. I was at a golf tournament, of course I was, and just a really nice guy. And I've seen him at a couple of events. And he came all the way across. He goes, "Hey, GSL." And it gave me, always makes me smile when people do that. And we had a nice conversation. But for the life of me, I just couldn't remember his name. And I didn't have the heart to say, "You know what? What's your name? I wish I..." So if that was you, nice person that approached me at Dundas Valley, I apologize. Why did a thumbs down bubble just appear? Did you do that?
Oh, it's something. Okay, that hasn't happened for a while.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, it's some kind of Zoom thing.
There, look. I know what it was. See, you were sending me a chat. Right next to it is the react, like the little emojis.
Oh.
See, I can give you some heart. There's a heart. And, oh, yeah, now we're going to have, now we're doing something. There's a rocket ship. There we go. Anyway,
this is an acid flashback.
Yeah, and the only people that can see it are you and I. So if you're that gentleman that walked up to me at Dundas Valley, and I know I should know your name, but you know, GSL is getting old. Anyway, it made my day. I really enjoy when people do that and come up and say, "Hey, GSL," and we talk about the podcast, which we do here and have done for some time. And of course, we couldn't do it without our listeners, but we could also. Hang on a second. You know, I haven't talked very much yet today. And we could also not do it without the help of these fine folks at TaylorMade.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest 5-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, now a half club longer, TP5X. Play a golf ball that performs like it was built for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks. Or personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Find your number one ball at TaylorMadeGolf.ca.
So thanks to TaylorMade, and of course, the golf ball, half a club farther for sure. And the driver, of course, the QI10, Fairway Woods. And so all of that is fantastic. And of course, I thought I'd pick out some different music today while you talk about Oscar Bravo. Just a little bit of a, kind of a little Gypsy Kings, Bamboleo.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Kind of has that vibe, you know, that you're at a resort down south. You had a lovely day with your partner, your friend, your lady friend, whomever it is. It's time for dinner, and you just sort of salsa out to the patio. There's a band there.
Sure.
And you're wearing your untucked Oscar Bravo.
Yes. Yes,
and you're confident in how you look. And you know that no one else will be wearing that wonderful garment that you are festooned with. Because they only make 100 each year of all the different models of the polos of Oscar Bravo. They have amazing features in them. They feel good. They look good. Check out whoisoscarbravo.com and salsa out to your patio.
Yeah, man. Yeah, brother. And of course, SecretLinks.golf, the Mexican adventure that is unlike any other golf adventure you'll ever participate in. Go to SecretLinks.golf and find out more. Ba-bow. So before we get to, we got a lot of clips on the show today. Today it's going to be lots of little questions and answers, and it'll be, I picked out two or three different things that I thought would be, as I told Tim before the show started, conversation.
This could be like whose line is it anyway?
Or not really. Or? More like conversation starters.
Oh, cool.
But before that, I want to announce too that the season of balance has been out of balance. You and I played a golf tournament together, Saugeen. I'm just looking back. Saugeen was the 20th of June.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back to, I had a week before that, I had a couple of events. So say around the 11th and 12th of June until 2 days ago, which is the 9th of July. In that period of time, I really overdid it, and I'm the first to admit that, you know, I was trying to have a season of a balance, but in those 3.5 weeks, it was not very balanced. And how I can I'm confessing this to you, and what it did to me is it was really hard on my body, and I realized, I think at our age, that's kind of what I wanted to begin with, is, you know, it was hard on my body, it was hard on my golf game. I had some good results. I played some good tournaments this week. I finished 13th or 14th at a big event at the Westin on Monday. We had a Ryder Cup thing at Dundas Valley where that gentleman approached me, and I played really well that day. Nice. But yesterday I went to yoga for the first time in about 10 days, and I realized while I was in the class, I'm like, man, do you need this?
Like, oh, yeah.
And I think I wonder if this is relatable to other people, where we kind of get so caught up in things that we let certain things slide by. And again, as much as I've wanted to have balance, this particular period of time didn't allow me to. And now going forward, for most of the rest of the summer, I'm not going through that again. I'll be playing a tournament once, maybe twice a week, and I'll have time to do those other things. But I wanted to mention how important that is, to have time for those other things that are non-golf related. What are your thoughts, Coach Tim?
Yeah, well, I think we may think that we're enlightened. We may think that because we talk to interesting people who have dish out expert advice, that we know all the right things to do, but it doesn't mean that we actually do them. And, you know, for sake of example, the other day, I had 5 lessons that I was giving on, so today is Thursday, that was Tuesday, it was super hot and muggy. And I should know that at age 67, I need to have some more electrolytes, maybe have, you know, an extra banana or something. I didn't, I just drew on my, on some water. Next day, Wednesday, yesterday, I was so depleted.
Mm-hmm.
I should know, for God's sakes, that in that kind of weather, I have to take extra measures. I have to be aware of what's going on, but I'm not. And I think that's what happens. And it's just part of, you know, how we roll, how we learn. But there's just such a difference between what we know and what we do.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I was just looking at the schedule. Like, I had a couple of weeks there where in a 14-day period, I played 11 or 12 times. And 10 of those, I'm just looking back, were qualifiers, were into invites, were the Ryder Cup stuff. And I was really, it's funny because we were supposed to play today. One of the reasons I asked you to record early today is that we had another senior Ryder Cup event. I'm on both of the teams at my club. So I would have ended up playing again today. But, you know, here's how you know you've overdone it. At least I felt it. When they told us the other day that this day was going to be canceled, I was like, oh, thank you. That is so good. And so anyway, I just wanted to update everyone on the season of balance. I just kind of overdid it. And I was also, so I went to yoga yesterday, and then I went to physio because I've got some arthritis in my right hip, and it affects my hip flexor. It doesn't affect how I walk or swing, but it definitely affects, you know, it's painful. And so the physio guy was going, whoa, dude. Yeah, because I haven't seen him in about a month. He's like, man, are you tight in there? I said, I'm 64 years old.
Oh, golly. Well, today, yeah. I'm going to subject myself to the iron thumbs of Bamalan Brooke Benny. Oh, my goodness. When that guy sticks his thumbs
I know. He's brutal.
Holy cow. I mean, I think when he flexes his thumb, like there's a little Popeye, you know.
No, he's a very strong young man. Speaking of Brooke Benny, I went and golfed. I golfed with Brooke on Sunday. Nice. I like to take him out and hang out with him. And he and I were talking because I was hitting it so bad. And not just, oh, my golf swing feels out of sorts. My body felt out of sorts. And that's why I said to Brooke, I said, and part of it is because there's this weakening in my hip flexors that when I get tired, I can't, there's no strength in my lower body to sustain my golf swing. And I was hitting some shots. Again, I'm just playing around. We're having a fun time. But I hit a couple shots that day, and I even said to Brooke, I said, that's not me. That's not my golf swing. That's just fatigue in your body.
Oh, agreed, 100%. I think that's one of the things that golfers are not as cognizant of is their bodies. And particularly in the coaching world, there's been so much more emphasis and awareness on that. Craig Davies was huge in that regard in his work he did with Foley, oh, golly, 15, 20 years ago, I think. But so many of the issues that golfers have is not that they can't make a good backswing or they can't transfer their weight, is that their body won't do exactly what you just experienced. And I had a guy the other day who, on his follow through, he tends to hang back. He kind of has that fire and fall back look to his swing, you know? And of course, he comes over the top and he hits these, you know, dead pulls. And I remembered, hey, did you have a back injury? And he did, about 3-4 years ago. And I said, well, okay, are you, you know, you seeing a physio guy? He says, yes. He says, okay, have that hip looked at. He says, I have a sense that you're protecting your back. And, you know, but unfortunately it leads to even, you know, because he's hanging back, does that, you know, that C-shaped thing, what do you call that, you know?
The reverse C?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And so, anyways, I'm just making the point that yeah, we have to be aware of what's happening in our bodies, because often it's not just, you didn't forget how to golf.
Yeah.
You don't know how to swing. It's just maybe your body is just not in a place where it allows you to do what you want.
And that's what that's why I brought it up, because, and it's funny because I had committed to playing with Brooke, and that was also at the end of last week. Like last week, I played an invitational on Monday, men's night on Wednesday. I had another tournament Monday, Ryder Cup on Tuesday, Brooke Benny on Sunday. So I didn't get a chance really to rest. I played Saturday in our regular group. So there's a lot of days in a row. And then it's funny because Brooke was the one who said, he actually did a little assessment after, and there's definitely some weakening in that. But part of it is just overuse and fatigue.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But I actually, the funny thing is, I actually played really, really well Monday, the day after I played with Brooke. Part of it, again, I just sort of bring in more, you know, concentration to it or whatever. But can I tell you a story? Because you brought up Brooke.
Go for it.
It reminded me of something Brooke and I experienced together on Sunday in our golf game. So Brooke, nice golfer. I don't know what his handicap is, but he hammers it. He's like a young guy, can hit it pretty far. And we're having a great time. So we roll up to the first tee, and they join us up with two guys. Older dudes, early 70s. One was on a cart. One was like hauling his clubs, like carrying his clubs. So right away, I'm impressed by that guy, right?
Yeah.
But on the first hole, the walking dude, we'll call him, you know, he hits it in a bunker, and I happened to be right beside him when he did. He goes, fuck, fucking bullshit bunker. And I was like, uh-oh, we got one of those. I go back to the cart, and I say to Brooke, I go, this guy just melted down on the second shot of the day. This is going to be fun. And I'm going to tell you, Timmy, again, remember, I was the worst I ever met. I got a chance to see what what I could have turned out to be had I lived to 72. This guy, I got to hand it to him. This guy was angry at 90% of his golf swings, and for the entire, was very pleasant to us, other than doing a little bit of the petulant walking ahead thing. Like, he did that a couple times, and I said, you know, that's just bullshit. Or he'd stomp off the green. And, what you know, he wasn't even that good. I mean, he was maybe 12 or 13, 14 handicap. I don't know what he was. But it was fascinating. It's, you know what, it's kind of like when you see somebody in their late 60s or early 70s that's still smoking. You go, well, I guess...
That's exactly where my mind was going.
I guess you're going all the way with this. Like, there's no learning at 72. If you're still this grumpy over golf, and I even said to his friend, you know, again, his friend was as nice as man, mild-mannered. A couple times I said, your buddy there. I said, is this every day? He goes, oh, yeah. I go, fuck, man, that's a lot of work. That is a lot of work. Of course, I didn't tell him that I was golf spiritual leader. But, yeah, man, like, that dude was angry from 1 to 18. The odd time when golf aligned and he made a putt or he chipped it close or whatever, he sort of, he didn't grumble, but he just didn't get excited. But dude, I've never seen a guy that age be that angry.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is surprising. Usually that maturity thing kicks in. It hasn't for you and I, but...
We got maturity when I certainly have around that kind of behavior and what it does.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's been a long time since I've seen almost anybody who behaves like that. Like I was like, it's almost like I was the last smoker because I was the last person kind of in my group that still slammed clubs and threw clubs and stomped around like an idiot. But it's been a long time since I've seen that behavior, especially in somebody.
I know, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's awkward, and it makes makes everybody kind of hyper aware, but it's not fun to be around.
It sours the group vibe too.
Oh, totally. It's not like what do you think the Oilers, Ken Holland, he's gone, and what are they gonna do, and, you know, all the bullshit that you talk about between golf shots, you know. It's just hard to kind of sort of like say, you know, after somebody goes, oh, motherfucker, and then go, like, so that Blue Jays pitching rotation not up to standards, eh?
Yeah, and again, by the way, if your swing thoughts or people are keeping track, Tim, so far this morning, two gollies, one motherfucker, and so far, no fucks. That kind of, I'm glad you said Brooke Benny's name, because I'd forgotten. I wanted to tell you that story of the grumpy old man and how it ties into the first clip I'm going to play for you. And it's a clip from an interview. I wish I knew the guy he was interviewing, but the sentiment is, you'll get this.
Those who have more...
Let me start again. The guy is saying the best golfers all have these two things in common.
Those who have more gratitude and more forgiveness are the best golfers. And you can't give what you don't have. So if you can't forgive yourself, then you're not going to be a good golfer. If you're not grateful, you're not going to be a good golfer.
Yeah, great. And we've talked about gratitude ad nauseum. I mean, Kent's been on talking about it. We've talked about it. You know, we journal about it. But I really like the second part of that, forgiveness. Yeah. The idea, and that's what I think. Well, I know what I think. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. Tenfold, if you will. The ability to forgive others and forgive yourself is crucial, because it allows you just sort of, as you've said times before, to turn the thermostat down.
Yeah.
And also just to gain perspective. And it's, you know, we all get mad at ourselves. You know, something happens, oh, shit, you know, do this, whether it be on the golf course or not. But then it's like, but what happens is that then you get caught in your stories. And, oh, I always, this always happens to me. And it's all really just nonsense. It really is just a bunch of nonsense. So forgiving yourself is like, yeah, you're going to make mistakes, but that's, you know, it's like people confuse guilt and shame. So shame is kind of the feeling, it's not just that I'm a bad It's not that I did something bad. I am bad. That's shame. Guilt is actually something that's kind of useful. You know, oh, I shouldn't have sent that stupid email. You know, I made a dumb decision. We can learn from that stuff. So I kind of see how it's all intertwined. I forgive myself for that. And then, you know, what did I learn from it? That's kind of my take.
What I liked about the clip, and I agree with you times tenfold. Because, again, we've talked a lot about the gratitude of being, you know, grateful for the experience, for the day. You know, Kent's idea of the final putt, and if this was your last round. And that's all about gratitude and being able to look around as, you know, I do. And I and just sort of, you know, I oftentimes when I'm waiting for others to finish putting, I've got my sunglasses on and I've got my eyes closed. Like, I'm just trying to absorb the experience. And I feel grateful for being there, and it grounds me. And that keeps me from freaking out But the forgiveness part, I didn't really consider that what I have gone through and what a lot of people go through in on the way to having more fun and enjoying the game is at some point, I guess, subtly, I have forgiven myself for hitting a bad shot, for having a bad score, for making a bad decision, for making a bad swing, to the point where I've played, as I mentioned in the previous section, that, you know, most of the golf I've played for a month has been tournament golf. The round with Brooke is the first round that I can remember for weeks and weeks where I didn't have to mark my ball and grind out the two-footer, or I'd hit a shot and I go, here, I'm just going to hit another one, just because I was curious about what happened. It was a real, you know, reminder that most of the time I'm playing tournament golf, you know, and I hit bad shots. But the forgiveness part of that was the part I was like, oh, I guess that's as important, because if you can't forgive yourself for hitting it into the bunker, your internal thermostat, as you mentioned again, will always be kind of bubbly under, waiting for the shot that makes you snap. Trust me, dude. Like, I hit some shots this week where I was like, I got pissed at myself. I was like, but yeah. it's not pissed at a visceral cortisol rate rising level. Just quickly, I was going to talk about this anyway, but what is it about waiting? What is it about waiting for the green to clear on a par five for your second shot that always makes you hit it shitty?
You answer it.
I'm sitting there. I killed my drive on the 10th. I'm playing the Dundas Valley, 10th hole. It's a par five. I just kill my drive. It's like I hit my drive at close to 300 yards, 290 something. I got 216 to the flag, and I'm waiting for the green to clear.
Very doable.
Hybrid, yeah. A little bit downhill, 100%. Hazard left, all this. And I would get up there, and of course, because everyone can hit most of the guys playing in the tournament I was in, a lot of them could hit the par five, so we all had to wait. But I was the last one to go, and I was the one that waited along. I was taking some practice swings, looking around, and then yeah. I hit this shot. Honestly, it was so bad. Like, it went straight right off my club into some trees and dropped down into some forest area. I had to take a drop, but I just laughed.
What I'm most interested in is, what did you say after that? What did you say?
I didn't get mad. I was like, oh, fuck. Here's what I said. I was going, really, Howard? This is what I say to myself. Oh, really, Howard? Yeah. That's the best that you could do after waiting for 5 minutes. Yep. And I sort of made myself laugh. But part of the reason I'm trying to avoid, there's a big hazard left of the green. It's a very narrow green. And when I got on the green, I thought to myself, why don't you just hit it at the hazard and just see if it cuts? If it doesn't, I would have been right next to the green in the hazard, dropped, you know, chip up, make a par.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what is it about, everyone listening has done that. You're waiting for the green to clear in a par five and you almost never hit it. Great. But back to our original idea about, I forgave myself instantly for that shot.
Yeah, but I just to finish the thought, to come back to that thought before back to forgiveness.
Too many thoughts. Just,
yes, I have thoughts. It's swing thoughts, for God's sakes. It's just natural that, you know, in the moment we're going to start to think, oh, the guys are aware I'm waiting. I'm waiting. What are they going to think? You know, do they think, oh, can he make this shot? Oh, really? We waited all this time for that? Right.
Yeah.
You know?
But I know what you mean.
I got a story that covers that. My own story.
Stories.
So, gosh, this is probably 30 years ago. One of my cousins is getting married. It's in Saskatchewan. So I think it was the day after the wedding. But anyways, we arranged some family golf. So I'm playing with three of my cousins, two of whom I get along with really well. One, not so much. He's kind of like black sheep of the family. Mm. So we go out and we're on a par five and I hit a drive and I'm waiting for. So the women folk we're playing with are our spouses, etc. They're on the green and I'm waiting for the green to clear. And the dark sheep cousin says, "What are you waiting for?" "Well, I'm waiting for the green to clear." He says, "You're not going to hit that." And I says, "Nah." And my cousin Ken goes, "Oh yeah, Tim can play. He could hit that." And he goes, so my lovely cousin goes, "Not from what I've seen today."
Wow.
Exactly.
He's not the black sheep of the family. He's the black dick of the family.
Yeah. So anyways, so the gauntlet, you know, is there, the glove on the ground. It's like I focused on that shot as if it was coming to, you know, the Open Championship. How's that for timing, eh? Yeah. The Open Championship, 18th hole. And I hit the green, and I think there was a big fist pump there.
Yeah, but, baby.
But yeah, I mean,
Tim O'Connor mic drop.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's just so natural, particularly when we're waiting for our mind to start going, oh, what do they think? Can I really make this shot? Is this really prudent? All this time to effing think.
Absolutely.
And that is the, you know, definitely. What's the saying that, I don't know, time to kill or something is a devil's workshop or, you know, I don't know.
Idle hands, I think, are the devil's work hands.
So that's, idle there hands you go. When you have that time to
sit. Idle hands are the devil's playthings.
Okay. All right. Well,
no, but you're right. You're absolutely right. For a lot of people, it's like what are my friends going to think? In my case, I'm playing with guys that they know I can hit the green. So that wasn't one of my things. It was like, I'm just doodling around waiting to hit it. And it goes to this other thing I want to talk about today. Yes, by the way, don't think for a second I don't agree with almost everything you said there, except for the, and by the way, I'm keeping score. Now we're up to two gollies and one gosh, okay? So, but in my case, and again, a lot of it goes to what you said about people, again, or what are other people going to think of me? In my case, it wasn't that. It was in the moment, I couldn't execute the shot that I, like my, it's like, and this is another theme I wanted to get to, and I'm going to play a clip of this guy. And it happens to a lot of people. Where does your golf swing go sometimes under pressure? So, and you described it beautifully. For a lot of people, it's that. It's what are people going to think? It's and you're in this case the douchebag that your cousin, that's just douchey behavior. And so, and I love the fact that you prevailed, but that guy obviously didn't want you to hit the green in two because he's a dick. But a lot of us, we play golf, and as you're going to hear in this clip, it's very common that our swings disappear under pressure, not just the pressure of a tournament, but the pressure of playing the game.
Do you have great feels on the range, but on the course, they disappear? Here's why. On the course, an external focus is more effective. What does that mean? What that means is focusing on something outside of your body is going to work better than focusing on something inside your body. So on the golf course, that's a golf club, the ball, the target, maybe a stick that's in the way. Focusing on those things is going to work a lot better than thinking about how your elbow's moving, how your shoulder's moving, how your wrist's moving. If you think about it, think of any task that you complete on a daily basis. Cleaning your teeth, driving a car, picking up a glass of water, whatever it is. You think about the object that you're using, not the way that each individual body part is moving. So embrace that. Don't try to override the system and take the same approach to the golf course.
So, and I know there's lots there for you to unpack, but I'll tell you, in that moment where I hit that hybrid, you know, right into a forest, I wasn't thinking externally. I didn't have an external focus. Now, was I thinking about whatever swing thought I'm working on that day? Maybe. But I know one thing. When I looked back on the green and I looked back to where I was, I thought, you know, there was a shot that I could have tried to play versus just make a swing. And I think for a lot of people, that's the thing where that, if you're wondering sometimes where your swing goes, it's because you're thinking about a swing to make as opposed to a shot to make.
Bang on. Absolutely. Yeah, that it comes down to that old thing about golf is that we got too much time to think.
Yeah.
And when you have that time to think, like you're waiting in a fairway to hit a shot, it's not it's not unusual for it to go like, okay, what am I doing today? Or what should I be doing today?
That's right. And,
you know, what's my mantra, if you will? You know, what we do that. But it doesn't serve us, just like whoever that very eloquent fellow was saying, is that we start to think, and like you said, we think about our golf swing as opposed to the golf shot.
Yeah.
And the brain always works better when it's focused on the shot. And, you know, what kind of a shot am I going to hit? What am I, what's the trajectory? What's the shape? Where do I want this to land? The brain takes that information in. And as our good friend Ed Collins would say, is it self-organizes to hit the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's focused on this external target. But just one little thing I want to add. The brain also knows the difference between when it's a shot of consequence and when it's not. On the range, it's not.
Yeah, of course.
But on the golf course, it knows this perhaps means something, and so there's tension that creeps in and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love this kid's explanation. That's why I picked it out, and how it ties into that shot and other shots. You know, like, you know, I played on Monday in a very nice golf tournament with really some good players. And, you know, I had another one of those rounds where if you had seen me through most of the 15 holes, I played that golf course, which is a tough course, 2 over par. I shot 80.
Wow.
But interspersed around the golf course, I made 3 double bogeys. Now, one of them was just bad luck. I hit my drive in a par 5, might have been a little bit left of the fairway. We all drove up there, and it was, you know, just one of those things like, oh, we couldn't find it. It wasn't on the fairway, but it was in an area just a little bit off the fairway. We should have found it. I went back to the tee, made par with my second ball. But the other two double bogeys I made were kind of like what this kid's talking about. What we're talking about now is in those moments, I didn't have a real plan. I didn't give my brain a chance to self-organize. And, you know, it's not an excuse, it's an explanation. Just so much golf, so many tournaments, I found myself losing my focus, you know, and so I'm saying that to everybody who's playing on the weekend. You know, when you hit a bad shot, you have to ask yourself, okay, was I in this moment? Did I have a plan? You know, I was talking to somebody about pitching the other day, and I said, you know, maybe it was Brooke. I said, I literally, the reason you walk up to the green to see, you know, it's to see where you want to land the ball.
Exactly.
I'm not just trying to make the motion of chipping or pitching. I'm actually going to hit it to a spot, an external focus. But on Monday, in those other two doubles that I made, I was completely not focused on what I wanted to do. And unfortunately for me, again, most of that day, I played some really good golf. But unfortunately, at 2 or 3 crucial times, I just made double bogeys.
Yeah, what you're talking about there, the point of, you know, let's say walking up to the green, seeing the spot you want to land it. So you're giving your brain really good data. Because and your brain will figure it out. Your brain, it's like the same thing. You come up to a T intersection, you look, can I turn left here? And maybe you think, yeah, I could go, but you don't. It's because your brain goes, no, there's not enough room here, or it's not worth the risk. Because your brain is amazingly smart. And one of the things that I do when I'm starting, say, a series of lessons with a new client, I will almost invariably have a game of catch. I'll have them stand in one spot. I'll move around kind of like a little little receiver, and I'll lead them. I'll put a hand up and walk, and then throw it. And they almost invariably get it to my hand or wherever I go, however far. And I'll always walk up to them. I go, "How'd you do that? You got it to me perfectly every time." Well, I don't know. It just comes down to that I was the target.
Right.
And I was, in essence, the external focus. There's no thinking. And so one of the things is that what we do when we're playing golf, when we're doing things in a nice way, whether it's giving a presentation, writing, any kind of sort of performance, we're in flow. And in flow, there's not a self-consciousness. There's not a consciousness of how am I doing? Am I doing it well? Am I doing it right? How will I be evaluated? None of that. We're just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we... that's when we play our best golf. That's when we have the most fun. The guy you're talking about earlier, he's evaluating himself the whole damn time when he's getting mad at himself.
Oh yeah, the grumpy guy.
Yeah, that's all judgment, evaluation. You know, I suck. All that stuff.
Oh yeah,
He's a victim to his old. He's a victim to his old patterns of behavior.
Yeah, he started off. You know, he's listen. If you're calling if you're saying all that fucking bullshit bunker on the first hole, you got out of the car like that.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, and you can imagine that guy with his spouse or people that, you know, when he used to work. Oh, he was a ton of fun. That guy.
Yeah. So that's that's good stuff there. I wanted to see I want to go into my last clip of the day, and it's not a golfer or a golf's coach or whatever, but it's a pretty famous psychologist, you know, sociologist, whatever, Eckhart Tolle's.
Oh, yes. He
wrote the book The Power of Now and A New Earth. And you know, I read The Power of Now a few years ago, and you know, it's interesting. I mean, I wasn't like blown away by it, but I do like this little clip I'm about to play for you and how it applies to our game.
If you are not really enjoying while you pursue the goal, whatever it is in your life, if you are not really enjoying the doing because you are so focused on becoming and achieving and arriving at this future point that the enjoyment of the doing is so greatly diminished or disappears completely because all you want to do is arrive, but you're not there yet. That's the nature of stress, how stress arises. Stress means there is a continuous focus on the next moment, and this is produced by the human mind through thinking. You are torn away internally from the present moment into a non-existent, because the future never exists except as a thought. You are torn into this so-called future, which is a never, never land, because it can never arrive.
So there you. That basically, I love that idea of, you know, that applies to golf. You know,
oh my God, all of it does.
Because we all think, and again, I know we've now been saying this probably for about a year. I know we've said this before, but we're going to say it again. If you're not enjoying, and again, talking to myself, if you're not enjoying this process and you think you're only going to be happy when ... I break 90, I break 80, I get to down to whatever, then you're going to be that guy. And that was a glimpse at, you know, almost like the Christmas Carol. I got to see what a ghost of GSL future could have looked like. Like, seriously, like I saw that guy and I felt empathy for him. I did. I was mocking him to Brooke. I was definitely. Totally. But I also I felt empathy for that guy. I felt compassion for him because, you know, there but for the grace of Yahweh. You know,
of hummus? What?
Really? There, but for the, you know, so, and it all because I was the classic, I'm only going to be happy when I hit a good shot. And as we all know from this ridiculous thing we pursue, there aren't very many of those in a round. There just aren't.
Yeah.
And the sooner we all come to grips with that, the sooner you can enjoy, as he says, you can enjoy the process of becoming as opposed to waiting to become.
Yeah, I mean, Eckhart Tolle, just his voice and way of speaking is like a drug.
Yeah.
If you're feeling any kind of anxiety, folks, find a clip of Eckhart Tolle and you'll just settle right down. But yeah, what he's saying is I can't argue with any of it. It's all just gold. But the thing is that you can't expect to be happy like Whistling Dixie if you're hitting it sideways all day. But just to know that that doesn't define you, and that, you know, and you can probably learn some good shit from hitting it sideways. But it doesn't define you, and maybe it comes back to that business. No, I can forgive myself for this. This doesn't define me. But, you know, it also speaks to what we've talked about, you know, things we've talked about before, arrival fallacy.
Yeah.
We think, you know, we get this score, index gets down to this, so that we'll be happy. And one of the best stories that we've heard on this show around that was our friend Carl Morris, who we're going to have on in August. And he tells the story of a guy getting older in his career, PGA Tour player, never won a major. You know, what about my legacy? You know, how will my career be looked, you know, if I haven't won a major? He finally wins a major. But within the weeks that follow, his anxiety grows more and more. He goes, oh, what if I'm a Johnny Onesome, if you will? What will it say that I could only bring it in one turn? Was I lucky? His anxiety ramped up even more. So, and Carl said, geez, wouldn't you just kind of open the drapes every morning and say, hey, I won my major. Yeah, life's exactly. Pretty damn good. Yeah. But that's not the way we roll as humans, as if we're not aware of it. And so what Tolle is just saying in so many ways is just, you know, the be here now thing. Enjoy. It doesn't mean that we need to relish in everything, but it's just like taking it all with a grain of salt and like, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going
to
be okay.
Well, it kind of goes back to, again, the theme on the show today is, you know, where does your swing go? Gratitude and forgiveness. Yeah, like when I hit that shot on Tuesday, it was kind of, it was like my initial reaction was, oh, that's fantastic, Howard. Well done. Well done. But my reaction was sort of neutral. Like, I just, it was like, huh. You know, more of that kind of reaction. Because I have worked on this for years now, that I'm okay if I hit a bad shot. I'm going to make a bogey or whatever. I made three doubles on Monday, still went to dinner, still walked around like I felt good about myself. The guys at that tournament have all seen me play. I have a comfort that my place, I feel comfortable about my place in the golf world, and I'm comfortable with myself. So I can make three. Someone asked me, I was sitting next to Kent. You know, we sat down for dinner. We had some food for a few minutes. And I said, oh, by the way, what'd you shoot today? I said, I shot 80. He said, me too. And I said, okay, you first. And he told me a couple of the highlights. And I said, well, I don't really have much to add other than I made three doubles. And the rest of the time, I was pretty good. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Because we imagine people are going to be going, oh, did you hear that he shot this? No one gives a shit.
Exactly. You know, NOC. No one cares.
I overheard a good friend of mine, formerly at the National, who won the club championship there 9 times. I just, as he was passing, I heard him talking about his score. He shot 85 that day. No one's going to go, well, I guess all those club championships were a sham. No one cares. So, and I know this resonates with a lot of people listening, because I know, you know, like there are people, it doesn't matter what your handicap is. You know, I hear from people all the time that struggle with the game because they think the pathway to enjoyment is through their golf swing. That being said, I love working on my golf swing. I find it fascinating. I enjoy it.
Totally. That's why you're a good player. It's not work. It's something you enjoy doing.
Love it.
You kind of get lost in it. It's just, it's one of those things that you enjoy doing.
Exactly.
It's not for everybody.
Nope.
Playing at a high level of golf takes a lot, an investment in time, money, all that good stuff, seeking information. So for a lot of people, that's just not what rocks their world. But for others, that's what they like, being by themselves, hitting shots. Just that's their little place of calm. You know, so we all do things in different ways, but I just want to tie in something that what's kind of been in the news the last couple of days is that you know, as most of us will recall, when Rory had his very disappointing finish, missed the two short putts in the U.S. Open, is in essence to, you know, quote, lose the Open. He didn't meet with the media afterwards. He just kind of roared out. There's a bunch of guys following him out to the parking lot, and off he went. So it was it yesterday or the day before he finally talked about it for the first time in what, 3-4 weeks at the Scottish Open. And here's the point I want to make. He's fine. He's okay. You know, it's funny what he said is that he had something to do in New York. So he went and he just kind of walked around and just let his thoughts go and just let it all just sort of fade away. And so now he's fine. So I would say, has Rory in essence forgiven himself? Yeah. Has he sort of found his center? Is he sort of back to being sort of equanimous, if you will? I would say, yeah, but it takes time. And, you know, so now there's a debate, you know, among golf media types, is like, okay, isn't it an obligation? Aren't you accountable to speak with the media afterwards? I mean, in some sports leagues, you're fined if you don't. Remember Marshawn Lynch?
I just want to get back to what you said about it stung what he went through. And I'm on the same golf nerd Twitter as you are, and I see all the stuff going back and forth, and I actually didn't think it was such a big deal.
I didn't either.
That he didn't talk to the media. I mean, considering what he's given of himself, I'm like, guys, just calm down. He's one of the nicest guys in the game. And he's always, during this whole live thing, he was just, you know, so open, and he's given a lot. Can we not just give him a couple of weeks? I wasn't surprised that he's fine. He's just that kind of kid. But when you were talking about, just wanted to run back to what you were saying about, you know, the fact that I enjoy, and there's lots of people listening that do too. And it's not just about hitting balls alone. I just like being around the golf course, you know, Saturday after. It's funny, we had our Saturday game this week, and I was one of the early tee times, so I stuck around. Like, there was like 2 hours of tee time, so I was like maybe the third off. So I stuck around, had lunch, waited on the patio. You know, a couple of guys were like, oh, I guess you're hanging around because you had a good score. I said, no, I didn't actually have a good score. I'm just hanging around because I like hanging around. And then I spent 2 extra hours after everyone finished, went to the range, worked on my game a little bit. I'm working with, I've got a decade client, so I'm working with one of the teaching pros there. So we spent some time away from the range just talking about a tournament. So I'm doing a little, you know, a little coaching. But one of the guys, as he was leaving, he saw me, sort of waved at me. He goes, this is why you're a good player. I said, what do you mean? He says, you're still here working on your game. And I sort of didn't want to tell him that I'd spent an hour having a coffee with this kid. But the point is, I've always loved hanging around golf courses. I've been doing it since I was 11 years old. I find it a comfortable environment. I know how the whole system works. It's like when I walk into a radio station, I know where all these people are and all the players, and so it's a comfort for me. It's also back to what Eckhart Tolle says: is I love the process of it. I love the doing of it. Yeah, I like outcomes. Yeah, I would have loved to have shot. You know, I had a feeling on Monday that I could have won that tournament. Warren Tsai won it, but I was in that. I felt like I started off really well. I was 1 under through 5 or 6 holes. And I felt like, yeah, I got a good feeling today. I was playing very well. Didn't turn out that way, but I enjoy when I feel like that. So yeah, I mean, it's worth it to me to, as you say, invest the time.
Yeah.
And as an addendum, let me just finish by saying, if you're not doing that, forgive yourself because as I've said a million times now, lots of people are interested in getting better. Very few people are committed.
Yeah.
Because it's not committed isn't for everybody.
I've quoted you a few times recently on that piece. But, you know, so people can't see, but I'm holding up a scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a core part of golf. No one wants to hit it sideways. It's not fun. We want to hit some pretty good shots. We want to have a chance at making some pars and things. But there's so much more that goes with it. And so part of the thing, I think what you're experiencing is you just love the environment of golf and just being around it. There's just something that goes back to when you were a kid, like you were a very avid player as a junior. I mean, it's the same thing when our band goes to play. I kind of like it when I arrive early and I see all these chords on the floor and see the amplifiers and all the stuff. I just love being there.
Yeah.
And so in golf, there's so much more. There's our friends. There's and certainly the environment. And one of the things that I do every once in a while, I'll have I often have clients who will meet me late in the afternoon or in the evening, and I know they've just come from the office. And I'll say, hey, before we get started today, let's just look around. And the range at Blue Springs is just gorgeous. Yeah. It's just lined with these big trees. And, you know, we can look and we see the breeze, you know, is making the leaves blow. And you watch the birds and hear the birds, feel the wind, you know, on our face. And we just sort of start to come out of where we transition into being in a place of now. And being able to enjoy ourselves and to come fully present, because it's just so much more than just, as I said, the numbers we write down on the card.
Absolutely.
If it's that, we're really diminishing the enjoyment we can get from the game.
Yeah, like I couldn't agree more, and it's you're picking up on what I was saying. Like on Monday, you know, Kent and I were playing this tournament together, as I mentioned, so we met. You know, we were there having breakfast together. Then we got a shuttle to the range together. There was a bunch of guys that I played. I'm on this circuit of geezers. So there's a bunch of guys that I played the week before with. And the guys that we played, you and I, the dude, one of the dudes we played in Sogging was there, Marty. So he's there. So the range is just, so there's that part of it. We're all warming up and, you know, yammering back and forth. And then we go in and we get, you know, everyone's on the putting green. Then you play. Then everyone's coming back after. That's a great thing you said. It's not just what was on that scorecard, because that scorecard only matters it doesn't really matter. And I would say, to Warren Tsai's credit, he came up to me after and we were talking about it. He said, hey, how come I didn't see you last week at our tournament? I said, you know, just too many tournaments, Warren. And we had a chat back and forth. And he said somebody heard us talking about him on this podcast. All of that conversation. And then I went over to the buffet and I went to get to the food. Not once did he tell me, oh, I think I won the tournament. In fact, I didn't know he won the tournament until we're sitting there and the presentation started. And they went, and the winner is Warren Tsai. I thought, you know, good for you. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of guys in that conversation with me would have mentioned what they shot that day.
Yep.
But he didn't. And I was very impressed by that. And it shows, well, just what we're talking about. Like, that was the guy that won the tournament. That's how much the scorecard meant to him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if we go back, so the grumpy guest that you talked about earlier,
yeah,
I bet you if you talk to him and like just you run into him sort of chatting in a room like that, hey, how you doing? Oh, I suck today.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe it. I did this and this. All about him. It's like the person you meet at a party who tells you, or just somewhere, and just it's all about them. They never inquire about you. And you just think, you know, I used to be offended by that. And then I think, oh, you poor soul.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on for you? But just to come back to something else, I remember I would say this at least once to usually early in the season when I coached the University of Guelph golf team. I said, you know what? What you will remember about being on this golf team in 20, 30 years will have nothing to do with your score. It'll be memories that you had about being out, maybe having wings or on the bus and laughing your ass off.
Yep.
That's the stuff you'll remember and you'll cherish.
And just to put a little pin back into the grumpy old guy, Grumpy Gus, on Sunday with Brooke, and when you see him, are you seeing him today?
Yeah.
Ask him about how badly I played and how I didn't give 2.5 shits. Like when I say, like I've already described how much golf I played. So this was the day, by the way, the day before I played great again, but I played so poorly with Brooke, and never once did I say out loud to the group, or you know how, because I know myself, if I had played like that 5 or 6 years ago, I would have not only, maybe not that long, but I would have been gone out of my way to explain to the other people in the group, I am way better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am. But I know that. Like, but I, no part of me said to even the nice guy, oh, you know, this is not my usual game, or you should have seen me. Because I have no interest in that. I don't care what those two guys think of my golf game. Doesn't matter to me in the least. And who knows? Maybe down the road, someone will say, oh, blah, 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 Howard Glassman. And the guy, one guy will say, yeah, I played with him. He sucked. They'll go, really? Yeah, yeah, he was horrible. Because I was. Mm-hmm. If I had been keeping score that day, I don't know what I would have shot. But I wasn't. I wasn't. I was just hanging out with Brooke.
Yeah, you don't. But you're at a certain point, I think we just realize that it just doesn't matter. It's like the Bill Murray line in Meatballs. It just doesn't matter. Because you're secure in yourself. Whatever anyone, you know, it's like I've said before. It's like as you get older, you start to stand up for yourself, maybe say some things that you wouldn't say earlier because someone might judge me to be a dick. Well, hell, they'll judge me to be a dick anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't fucking matter.
I think quickly, we've had Robert Dammer on the show. And I tell the story about Robert playing with me at the National a couple times. And this is when he had just come second. A few weeks after he came second to Greg Norman at Doral one year. This was when he was on the tour. Wow. And the day at the National, like, I think he was playing in flip-flops. But, he didn't play very well. And I was bugging him. I'm like, Dameron. I kept saying to him, Dameron, who are you? Because he was playing terribly. But he told me that. He said, do you think this matters to me? I was just on TV 3 weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like, when I had no investment into showing these two strangers that I was a lot better than I am. I was just there for Brooke, having a good time, talking about golf, making fun of the grumpy guy. Anyway, I want to finish off because we had our clips, and I want to finish off with a quote, again, not from a golf psychologist, but could be. I'll read you the quote first, and then I'll tell you who it's from.
With lovely mystical music.
I thought you'd love this. So, and when I heard this, I'm like, if this so applies to golf, but of course it applies to everything else because golf is life. And it's serenity arrives when you exchange expectations. When you exchange expectations for, and I, hang on a second, this is going to be terrible.
I can't
read it.
Go on.
Oh, acceptance. Yeah, that's the word. I couldn't read. I couldn't read the last word.
I love the fact you've got this beautiful moment coming up.
Oh, yeah. Big moment.
And you screwed up.
That was like my second shot in the par five. I was ready to hit it. Acceptance, when serenity comes, serenity arrives when you exchange acceptance, expectations for acceptance. When you exchange expectations for acceptance, that's golf, my friends. Who said that? The Buddha said that. And that dude had like a, I think he was like a plus three at his, in his prime. Like, oh, he could hit it.
Absolutely.
He could absolutely hit it. He could putt and he could hit it. So there you go. Exchange your expectations for acceptance this weekend, STDs, because literally that's all there is. Because if you, like that dude, getting back to that dude, that's a guy that does not have high level of acceptance.
Well, there's a guy who I love this adage with the inferred moral. You're not good enough to get mad.
Absolutely. Let's talk quickly and let everyone know that Getting Unstuck, 7 Transformational Practices for Golf Nerds, it's getting ready to be out there. One day it will. And I think the day it's released, or when it's released, I will be trying to book the author on this program so we can have a conversation with him.
Well,
do you think we can get him?
He's kind of a dick.
No, you know, he's just very busy.
He's very temperamental. he's got his people. You got to work through the channels.
He's got a potty mouth.
Yeah, oh gosh.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh gosh, golly. Jesus.
As he just demonstrated.
So, yes, when the book is out, we're going to try and get Tim O'Connor on the show. As you mentioned, Carl Morris in the next few weeks. And listen, you're not the only one that's delaying their book. I was talking to KO about it on Monday. I'm like, dude, when are we going to get you on to promote your book? He goes, okay, I'm just working. I'm just a couple more things. Got a couple more things to work on. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, all right, so for what it's worth, I've sent it back to the designer. She's going to go through the multitude of changes that I've thrown at her.
Right.
It's just, again, it comes back to any project you want. It's just whatever time you think it'll take, just triple it. That's the way it goes. But
well,
Whenever it comes out, it comes out. You got the pedal to the metal, if you will. Pushing hard on it, but it comes out in sort of its own time. You can't rush.
You can't rush greatness. That's right.
Good work. There you go.
Your good work. Tim O'Connor, O'ConnorGolf.ca. Humble and Fred Show produces this program, humbleandfredradio.com. And as always, thanks to TaylorMade Golf. What a great bunch of people they have. And check out, of course, their fine products of golf equipment and golf balls. And, of course, Oscar Bravo, who is oscarbravo.com, and secretlinks.golf. All right, folks, here's the thing. Timmy and I are going to be off for a couple weeks now. And we're going to be on summer hiatus. So we'll be back in a couple weeks. If you're wondering why there will not be a new Swing Thoughts, probably when, Tim?
Probably, I think the next time we'll record will be the week of the 29th.
So, all right.
So there we are there.
Have a great time. And everyone else, enjoy your games. Way on down south.